Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome everybody, especially all you end zoners. Appreciate you hanging out even past the first show. I am Jeremy the Impact York, and this week for Falcon Zone, as we debut this new show, the more in-depth look at the Atlanta Falcons, I want to bring in a special guest host here. You may recognize him as he likes to call in to all of our end zone shows, Mr. Reggie Walker. How you doing today, Reggie?
Hey, Jeremy. How you doing, man? Thanks for having me on.
All right, it's no problem. It's a pleasure to have you on. And I really want to jump right into the we talked about this earlier this week, the force plate test that the Falcons and Jaguars have exclusive rights to. They're the only two teams in the league. They signed the 2-year deal for that, but tell us a little bit more about this test.
Well, Jeremy, it was an interesting read. Apparently, the Falcons as well as the Jaguars partnered with this Silicon Valley company called Sparta Performance Science. They developed a revolutionary force plate test that was designed. It is designed in their attempts to try to define and quantify an athlete's athletic performance potential as well as his tendencies. So again, it's like you and I spoke earlier, you know, for EA Sports, when they're doing their NFL games or what have you, imagine a player being hooked up to a bunch of sensors, and they're basically just taking him through a lot of tests, standstill, if you will, which is why Jadeveon Clowney actually allowed the Falcons to perform this test on him, because it was little to no impact to his physical body. But and they are actually able to try to quantify how a player's ability, his tendencies on whether he's going to get hurt or not, and those could be very beneficial when you're talking about trading up and, you know, picking players and things of that nature, especially with the draft upcoming.
Absolutely, and they talked about that, you know, Jadeveon did sign off on it because the most physicalness he had to do was jumping up and down. But what people fail to realize is that both these teams tested over 100 athletes, draft prospects and stuff, and their entire rosters.
Right, and I think that was probably the most important point that I read out of all of that. I mean, testing guys that you're potentially thinking about bringing in is one thing, but when you go through your current roster, and for Atlanta specifically, and I don't think a lot of people have been paying attention to this. I've been paying attention to it very in depth. Is with the Julio Jones situation. They did finally pick up his option, but I think a lot of us were thinking, you know, hey, they're going to go ahead and extend him to some major deal similar to that Calvin Johnson's received. But you know, you got to know that those injuries are playing some tricks in the minds of the front office, and I wouldn't be surprised if that test may have said, hey, let's wait one more year and see how this guy pans out.
Yeah, absolutely. And since, you know, actually one of the first people they tested was Devin Hester, as they signed him in the offseason as a kick returner offensive specialist. But they said actually as good a numbers as he had, especially in the speed portion of it, that Jadeveon Clowney in general was just – off the charts with his numbers.
Right. The only thing that was kind of questionable, and it was really indicative of what he did in the combine, was his strength test, which they said was average for a lineman. Usually a guy 6'5", however, you know, 260 pounds, you're going to expect a little bit more than that. But, I mean, to score in the speed test, like you mentioned, you know, in the with the likes of Devin Hester, says a lot for a guy that size as well. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I'd be highly surprised if Atlanta doesn't make the move to go get this guy.
Yeah, that's true, and we'll hit that a little bit later as we go over some of the roster roundup. And I actually have a pretty good guess, I think, as to who they're going to go after. But
right.
You know, as we both know, Coach Hill, and he likes to break things up into quarters, which kind of brought me to thinking about the first four games for the Falcons.
Right, right.
They open up at home against New Orleans. They go to Cincinnati in the second week.
Right.
They're they're back in the Georgia Dome for Thursday night football against Tampa, and then they finish up the fourth week with the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota.
Right, right. Yeah, very interesting, and you and I talked about this just the other day. I think the Atlanta could very easily, in this first quarter, as Coach Hill would say, 4-0, and it's all going to hinge on that very first game. I think that is the perfect game for Atlanta. It is the perfect first game for Atlanta. It's a rivalry game, and if you think back on last year, that really kind of set the tone for their year. Their first game last year was in New Orleans. And they lost that at the final second. I was sitting in the end zone, and I'm still upset. But that being said, to have the Saints rivalry game back in the dome, I'm telling you, if Atlanta, that could set the tone for their year. Absolutely set the tone for their year. Cincinnati, I think that'll be a good test. They get to face Andy Dalton and company, but I think that's a win. Tampa Bay, you know, got Tampa Bay back at the dome. They got a new coach in Lovie Smith and some great acquisitions. Free agency, specifically one of my former Georgia Tech guys, Michael Johnson, over at defensive end. But I still think that should be a win. Now we don't have to worry about Asante covering Vincent Jackson, so that should be definitely keeping him out of the end zone. Minnesota, currently still a question mark at quarterback, but they do have AP. Still, and anytime you got that guy, you got a chance. But we should definitely test out that new, you know, shiny defensive tackle that we got anchoring the middle of this new 3-4 defense, or hybrid defense, as Mike Smith still wants to refer to it as.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we said, I see them at 3-1 or 4-0 with the Falcons team we remember. But as always, you can call into our show at 347-826-7448 to weigh in on any Falcons issue. We'll try to address it the best we can. I do actually still have Coach Hill in studio, so you know, if we need his expertise to try to help us answer something, we can do that. We actually got a few callers. Let's try to jump in on one of these. Hello, you're in the end zone, Falcon zone.
Hello?
Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, you're in the Falcon zone?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Okay. I just had a question. I know you all were talking about Cincinnati's defense.
Right.
Y'all didn't talk about Cincinnati, didn't mention Cincinnati's defense. I think that, I know the Saints are going to be a rivalry game, but to me, I think the biggest litmus test for the Falcons will come in that second game. Because Cincinnati, as you all know, has a very tough defense, and they have a lot of Georgia Bulldogs on the team too. Those dogs, by the way. I think that second game will be the true litmus test. I mean, everybody gets hyped up for the rivalry, but if that offense if your offense is very capable, but if you know all cylinders and your defense doesn't hold up, which we all know was a little shaky and a little suspect last year, I think Cincinnati is going to provide the litmus test for the season. That was a road game. You got to go into the jungle.
It definitely could be, and you definitely can't sleep on the Cincinnati defense. And I do agree. I got many friends at a lot of different colleges around the local Atlanta area. And for some reason, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati love to pick up those dogs, especially the defense ones. But
absolutely.
Well,
they want to play defense. At Georgia, they play better defense in the pros.
That they do.
Well,
but to me, the question mark with Cincinnati is always going to be Andy Dalton. And he did just lose the offensive coordinator who made him look very good. I'm not saying he's not that good. I'm just saying that anybody named Gruden can develop a quarterback a lot better than most people.
Absolutely. Well, he did grow a little bit, too. Now. I mean,
I just
think that the defense is good. And I think that the defense is good, and with them being a true litmus test for a potentially explosive Atlanta offense when they are healthy, I just think that's going to be really, really a true test of what kind of metal that this Falcons team. He said he wanted tough players. That's what Mike Smith said. So you know, that's going to be tough. We're going to see how tough that defense really is these first 2 weeks of the season. I know they're going to be hyped up for that rivalry game, but to get on the road and go into the jungle in a hostile environment, I think that's going to be a big test early and can set the tone for the season. Man. Woo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you see
what was your name?
My name is Dwayne.
Okay, Dwight. Well, I appreciate you calling in, and you know, feel free to call us in anytime because Falcon Zone is always gonna. Oh, where are you calling from?
Actually, I'm calling from Columbus. I'm actually a Raiders fan, but I support all the local teams in Georgia. But I'm actually a diehard Raiders fan. But I do keep up with the Falcons.
We won't hold it against you. No, the Raiders are a good franchise. They've always had a storied history, and I've always enjoyed it. Especially, I hated you know when you lost your owner a couple years ago. But you know, the Raiders and the Jaguars and the Rams to me are three teams to keep an eye on. They're about to build up and make a serious rush at the top.
Well, I hope you're right, buddy. I hope you're right. We're long overdue.
Definitely, but we appreciate you calling in, and look forward to you
calling
in again.
All right, no problem. Take care.
And that was Dwight from Columbus calling in. Columbus is a good area, especially on that high school football level. Reggie, I don't know if you've been down there to see some high school football, but I remember having to travel down there in high school for it, and it's a jungle down there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, those are the country fed boys, as we call them. So a lot of weightlifting and a lot of late practicing going on down there. So absolutely. And to his point about Cincinnati, and I did think about the defense, but I also thought about the fact that Geno Atkins, who anchors that center, is coming off of a terrible knee injury this year. So, again, you know, sometimes when your big man go down, it's kind of hard for everybody else. We all see who the next leaders are. I'll just put it that way, as well as the fact that they did cut the guy they got from – I can't recall his name. I got a guy from the Steelers. Name now the veteran that they got from James Harrison.
Yeah,
They did cut him in the offseason. So, you know, leadership could be an issue on that defensive side. So we'll see. I still say the same, but he did make some good points with the Bengals.
Definitely. Let's jump into some other calls real quick. Hello, you're in the Falcon Zone. Who am I speaking with? Hello? You're in Falcon Zone. Go ahead. Well, if you'll stick with us there for a second, we're having some technical difficulties, some of the storms in the area, one of these freak storms that pops up. But let's try to jump to the next call. Hello, you're in Falcon Zone. Who am I speaking with? Hello? You're in the Falcon Zone. Who am I speaking with? Hello? Who am I speaking with? And if you guys will stick with us, we'll try to get you guys right back on real quick. If you are listening to us and going down the road, if you can, turn your radios down a little bit. Sometimes that can give the feedback to where it's harder for you to hear us and harder for us to hear you as well. But real quick, we're going to go to commercial real quick, and right back at the end of the break, we're going to go over some roster moves, what they did do, what they didn't do, and what I think they're going to do in the draft. But me and Reggie will be back on the other side of the break. Hi, Jeremy the Impact York here from Mellow Mushroom. Are you looking for a great family-friendly restaurant with food that is great and healthy? Drop by the Mellow Mushroom. They use the freshest ingredients to make everything on their amazing menu. Pizzas, calzones, salads, and more, plus daily drink specials. Go to mellowmushroom.com to find the location nearest you. Jeremy the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business. Hey, Zoners, it's Jeremy the Impact York. Are you looking for a dinner full of flavor with a little kick? Then Tequila Mexican Restaurant is your destination for authentic Mexican food and drinks. Make sure to come by on the weekends for live music on the patio and bring all your friends for a good time. With locations in Dallas and Hiram, they are ready to dish out their great food and more. And we are back. As always, if you can, visit our sponsors and support them because they support us and make sure that we can do these wonderful shows and allow you guys to call in. Reggie, real quick, I do want to hit on some of the roster roundup, as I call it.
Right.
Some of the major people, the major players that they released was Asante Samuel from the corner, offensive lineman Garrett Reynolds, linebacker Steven Nicholas, Tony Gonzalez was cut loose, Brady Ewing, the fullback, and safety Thomas Dekou.
Right, right. Also, another notable one was Chase Kaufman, who a lot of us thought was going to be the replacement or at least a decent replacement for Tony Gonzalez. I think out of all of those, Tony Gonzalez was a little surprising considering everything they did to get him back last year, but there was some interesting dynamics. For those who didn't read the ESPN article that he put out, he was a little upset about not being traded to a contender at the end of the year, which I don't blame him for. Thomas Dekou was the one that I think the fan base was calling for, including myself. I just thought that we could do better, but it left a tremendous hole because I think teams like New Orleans who ran out and grabbed Jerry's Bird real quick and. And the guy that they were really going after was the kid out of Carolina, who ended up signing with Pittsburgh.
Right.
And so that I think that's definitely somewhere that they're going to have to address in the draft. And even down to the talk about Champ Bailey being signed. I mean, New Orleans snatched him up as well. So you got to wonder what kind of cat and mouse games is going on. They knew Atlanta had a need for safety.
And, I think the fan base was also calling for the head of Asante Samuel, for lack of a better term. He was kind of like Champ Bailey of the team as far as he was still effective and he was doing a good job with putting the new guys under his wing. But Asante Samuel's seen better days, and, he'll probably sign one of those Champ Bailey deals with somebody and ride out the rest of his career.
Right, right. Yeah, I was glad to see players like him start to come into Atlanta, those players that bring that intangible, which I feel like is attitude. And I think that's what Atlanta is missing. And not just the Falcons, but a lot of our pro teams. It's just that they don't seem to have an identity when they're on the sidelines. And you don't win championships that way. I mean, a lot of people get upset with how Seattle kind of ran the show and you got Pete Carroll running up and down the sidelines. But, I mean, look at what he was able to accomplish in a relatively short amount of time. Just with attitude.
Yeah, definitely. And, you had Jason Snelling retired, which is going to leave a void at the running back position. And their signings they had, they signed the offensive lineman Gabe Karimi, stout offensive lineman. He is a big body bruiser who can go up against the J.J. Watts and, the great pass rushers of the game. They signed John Osamoah, the guard, which – same thing as Gabe, two big bodies who are going to get the job done and keep Matt Ryan upright for most of the game.
Right.
To replace Asante Samuel, they brought in Javier Arenas, who I believe can play some special teams as well. To help the defensive line, you had defensive tackle Paul Salaya. I never get his name right. I apologize, Paul. And defensive end Tyson Jackson.
Right.
And then they brought in wide receiver Devin Hester, either as a good option in a slot at some point if they can develop him, or by far the best return guy in the league right now.
Right, right. And all of this, again, is to generate some excitement. I mean, you want the excitement, and it's been stated that as the earlier caller, Dwayne called in a little earlier saying, Mike Smith wants to get nasty. He wants to get mean. He wants Arthur Blank call for more attitude. I think some of these players bring that. Tyson Jackson, it's interesting when we even talking about the Jeff Ireland situation on your last show, how Atlanta brought in Scott Peore, who Thomas Dimitroff came under, but most notably was the GM over at Kansas City. And you got to wonder, did they bring him in to land John Osemoah and Tyson Jackson, who was a first-rounder at the time that he picked him up out there at Kansas City? So, I think that they are definitely developing the defense in the right direction, coupled with some of the things that we saw last year out of Paul Warlow and Bartu and Massaquai on the opposite end. I mean, you got to still got to find another defensive end or someone to rush the passer. But I think we're okay at the linebacker spot as far as your starters are concerned. We can still use a little bit more depth. But I like our bookends. I like I like William Moore. I still think we need a standout safety. And I think we need one more guy that can put their hand in the dirt to kill quarterbacks. But other than that, I like what I'm seeing out of the defense. I really like to see what I'm seeing.
Yeah, definitely. And some of the notable re-signings they did, defensive tackles, Perry Ejiri, who has not necessarily lived up to where he was drafted, but, you know, for the most part, he's been pretty good at what he does. And also Jonathan Babineau and Corey Peters to kind of round out that defensive line. And then Mike Johnson, the offensive tackle, and Joe Hawley, the center/guard, who, you know, when he was called to play center is a very tough position because you have to start the game or you have to start each play because the ball has to leave your hand, and then you have to deflect whatever's in front of you. I felt like he did a good job last year.
Well, I think he did an excellent job. I mean, Mud Duck was as we affectionately called it, was tough to follow behind. I know Peter Kontz was signed out of Wisconsin to kind of come in and fill Mud Duck's shoes, but I think Joe Hawley did an excellent job, and I actually like to see him get the starting spot, to be honest. I think he brought that attitude to start to bring that nastiness on the offensive line, and a lot of people, as you know, also, Jeremy, they went out and signed Mike Tice as the offensive line coach, which I think was a key acquisition, as well as Brian Cox as a defensive line coach. And when you start talking about, well, what do we get Clowney and his we go get Clowney and he doesn't have the work ethic. Well, Brian Cox is going to get it out of you if nobody else. The guy had at the Senior Bowl doing up downs for not doing the drills that he wanted done. So you definitely developing a nasty tendency. So I like what they did. Parade Jerry, he's not one of my favorites. Never has been. I think he's probably one of the reasons why Atlanta chose to, you know, partner with this company and try to test out some of these endurances, because we haven't done too well with a lot of our first round draft picks as far as injuries are concerned. I mean, even down to Julio, who I think is a phenomenal player, but he's injured quite a bit. So you know, that I'm sure that played a big role in that acquisition.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's try to catch a call real quick as we're down to the we got a handful of minutes left. Let's try to catch a call real quick. Hello, you're in the Falcon Zone. Hello? Who am I speaking with? Hello? Well, I'm not sure we could quite make that connection. I do appreciate everybody that has been calling in. And, you know, our number is 347-826-7448 if you do want to call and weigh in. We got about 5 minutes left. One thing I did notice, you know, you did say that as far as the starting linebackers, that they're pretty much setting on the roster. As I looked over the roster of who they signed, who they didn't, that kind of thing, they only have 4 linebackers signed at this current moment.
Yeah, and I expect that to definitely says a lot about what the draft may pan out to be, considering they are moving more towards that hybrid 3-4, as they like to call it. So they're definitely going to need some depth. So, yeah, I was looking at taking a look at that, too. So I think that it'll play itself out in the draft, and maybe during training camp as you start seeing some more players get cut, casualty cuts, and things of that nature. So we'll see what happens on that.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, based off of that, I started looking at the draft, and to me, I feel like they trade up. They're going to Khalil Mack at the outside linebacker, just because I feel like they need. I mean, he could start now, or you could kind of groom him into it. You know, the way a lot of people do on good linebacking cores. Or if they trade down to pick up the extra pick and the extra body, I mean, you've got inside linebacker C.J. Mosley out of Alabama, who is a beast. You've got the outside linebackers Anthony Barr out of UCLA and Ryan Shazier out of Ohio State. I mean, to me, those are the people that are on their radar.
Right, and I like the kid Khalil Mack. I think that's a beautiful thing about him, that they can go the way. Unfortunately, you know, as we talked, you and I talked before, you know, with this billion-dollar stadium that they got coming next year, you're either going to sell it out with a championship or you're going to sell it out with a big name. And I think that's where Clowney comes into play. Now, another kid that I think, too, that if should they trade down, although he's not – well, yes, he could play the linebacker, is D Ford. D Ford is another name that I think Atlanta has on their radar, as well as a potential bringing a kid from Auburn who self-professed is better than Clowney. But I do definitely think I would prefer Khalil Mack over Clowney personally. But I do think they're looking for that big name, somebody who could fill them stands as well.
Right. And real quick, I do want to bring in Coach Hill, since he's still in studio with us right now, to weigh in on this. Coach Hill, where do you see this going?
Well, one thing I would agree with Mr. Walker, as he spoke of Khalil, I think, and I said this earlier in previous shows on episodes on the End Zone, that Khalil Mack is probably the biggest bang for the buck for two reasons. One, he's a dual position player. He plays linebacker. He's also heavy enough and quick enough to play off the edge. So if they do not go out and get a Clowning, for instance, now your next move is looking at where I can get bang for the buck for a two-player situation. Because if they do, let's say, pick up Mack and get Mosley, now they can move Mack down off the edge and also still have that safety valve with him as a linebacker as well. So there's some room in there to play with it. And because Atlanta sits, I think, at the sixth spot right now, there is some room that they're going to make to either go for the number one spot or position themselves with St. Louis at number two to make the moves that will adjust them down as they look further down into the draft.
Reggie, what do you think about that?
I agree with that. I mean, I like the duality of Khalil Mack in that he can definitely play that linebacker spot, which is why I like him a lot better. I think the only thing that people are questioning is the level of competition that he had at Buffalo versus Clowney, who plays in the mighty, quote-unquote, SEC. So I think that's really the only thing that there are some draft boards out there that have Khalil Mack going number one, even down to the Texans over Jadeveon. So I like that pick too.
Yeah, definitely. And as we are in the last minute or so of the show, we want to thank everybody that called in. We'll try to get those connections a little better next time to get all you guys on. Appreciate Dwight calling in from Columbus. Appreciate Coach Hill joining us for the last segment here. Appreciate Reggie being able to join us and help me host this. And before we get out of here, I do want to mention that the Falcons cheer squad has been holding auditions here lately. I believe they're past at least the first level. They may have decided the squad by now. And the cheerleaders are important. They do try to help everybody get geared up, and they do pay attention to the game, unlike a lot of other teams. The Atlanta cheer squad actually does well, so we want to wish everybody well wishes with that, and good luck to all the girls. But for Coach Hill and Mr. Walker, I am Jeremy from End Zone and Falcon Zone. We'll see you guys next week.